Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at Russia's plans to send S-300s to Syria. Russia announced it will be sending S-300s to Syria as part of its response to Israel's lethal recklessness last week, thus drawing a new line in the sand and making it so that Israel will no longer have the freedom to bomb the Arab Republic at will like it used to. The Ministry of Defense attributed last Monday's chain of tragic circumstances, as President Putin described it, to the reckless mid-air tactical maneuver that an Israeli jet carried out in order to evade an incoming S-200 missile that ended up instead retargeting and ultimately taking down a Russian spy plane. 15 servicemen were killed in the incident, and the hitherto excellent relationship between Russia and Israel was immediately put on life support. The two parties had previously agreed to a so-called deconfliction mechanism immediately prior to the commencement of Russia's anti-terrorist intervention in Syria in late September 2015, which was designed to specifically prevent unfortunate incidents such as this one. But Moscow accused Tel Aviv of failing to abide by its commitments after only informing it of 25 out of more than 200 times that it bombed Syria in the past 18 months. The Ministry of Defense also said that Israel only gave Russia less than a minute's notice during last week's fateful bombing run, thus making it impossible for the spy plane to move out of the area of operations and therefore contributing to the tragedy. In response to the threat that Israel's recklessness poses to Russian servicemen, Moscow said that it will send S-300s to Syria and specifically remarked that this will enable it to close parts of the country's airspace. Israel previously vowed to destroy the S-300s if Syria used them to target its jets, claiming that Tel Aviv is only bombing the Arab Republic in order to thwart Iran and Hezbollah's ambitions to build missiles there that it fears will one day be used to attack it. A lot of ambiguities regarding Russia's decision remain to be clarified, such as whether Damascus will have full and independent control over the S-300s or not, and whether they'll be used to enforce the no-fly zone over the American-occupied northeastern part of the country, too. However it plays out, and be it symbolically or even substantively, Russia's decision to send S-300s to Syria draws a new line in the sand for both it and Israel. Gosh, folks, I think we're all eagerly waiting to see what happens with the S-300 shipment to Syria and whether or not it will be an escalation or a stabilization measure. So we're going to speak to two very distinguished experts today to help hopefully clarify some of these many ambiguities. All right, folks, well, the first guest that we're going to speak to today is Mr. Khaled Al-Qassimi. He's an IR doctoral candidate and Near East political commentator.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Khaled, how significant of a development is it that Russia finally decided to dispatch S-300s to Syria, and what impact do you expect these systems to have on the course of the country's conflict?
Well, I think we should remember that Russia has agreed to sell Syria the system back in 2013, but has refrained at the request of Israel, even though Syrian military personnel did already have training to use the units. The significance is that the missile defense system covers all Syrian airspace, but more importantly for Russia's geostrategic calculation is that the system covers regions near Russia and around the Mediterranean. But equally important is the introduction of what they call signal jammers. So really the impact is that Israel no longer has a carte blanche in targeting weapon facilities, hence the no-fly zone in Latakia. Another important effect accompanying the dispatch of 300 is Lebanon bringing the issue of Israel violating its airspace to the United Nations. So here we have, again, Israel risks losing another strategic air corridor to target Syria and its allies using Lebanese territory. Israel has said that a conflict wouldn't escalate if the weapons are only used by Russians. However, if they're used by Syrians, Netanyahu and Bolton said that that would be a huge mistake. Israel even reverted to cultural relativist claims. Mordechai Kaider in Jerusalem last week actually said that Syrians just don't possess the competency to use these weapons. Forgetting the important fact that, and to back up his claim, he said, how can they use S-300s when they can't even use S-200, the one that accidentally brought down the plane? So Russia usually differentiates between the Arab-Israeli conflict and its diplomatic relations with Israel. However, it seems that with the delivery of the S-300s, which was accelerated by the downing of IL-20, it seems that the line has been blurred. In any case, in my opinion, I feel like the S-300 has declared a curtain call on Israel violating Syrian airspace without repercussions, which obviously hinders Israeli effort in eroding the Syrian government and the project from the Middle East.
Okay, Khaled, well, the establishment of a no-fly zone in Syria could lead to what Israel might consider to be the creation of IRGC and Hezbollah so-called safe zones, to say nothing of the S-300's far-ranging capabilities to potentially infringe on Israel's own airspace. So what are the chances that Tel Aviv carries out a preemptive strike against these systems like it previously promised to do in order to thwart these scenarios?
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up because, as I already said, Israel usually violates Lebanese airspace to target Syria from the Mediterranean region. So as of last week, Syria's ambassador to Russia, Riyad Haddad, said that the S-300s will be used in order to defend Syria from land and Israeli aggression actions. What this means is that any missile targeting Syria from any cardinal direction will be shot down using the missile defense system. This is a dramatical geopolitical shift from when Israel would simply, prior to the downing of IL-20, it would usually inform Russians of targets before bombing targets in Syria, and Russian air defense system would remain inactive. But now, since the downing of the plane, according to Defense Minister Shoigu, any attack by Israel will be intercepted and responded to. And according to geostrategic expert Konstantin Sokolov, both Russian and Syrian military are well-equipped in defeating and containing such attacks. Israel needs to become familiar with the reality that Russian relations prior to the downing of IL-20 is different than Russian relations after the downing of IL-20. And we shouldn't be surprised with how Israel actually reacts to this. As we all know, Israel is the primary catalyst in the passing away of 15 Russian military personnel. And if we go back in history a bit, in 1967, Israel has bombed the USS Liberty with Air Force and torpedoes back in the 1967, killing over 30 U.S. military personnel.
Okay, Khaled, well then, do you think that Russia's decision to send S-300s to Syria is more about pressuring Israel to abide by its own agreed-upon deconfliction rules to notify Moscow well in advance of its planned strikes in the country? Or, Khaled, is this more about punishing Israel by preventing it from ever bombing Syria again?
Well, Israel's Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman stated earlier this year that if someone shoots down at our planes, we will destroy them. And he said jokingly, it doesn't matter if it's an S-300 or an S-700. However, with the downing of the IL-20, the chairman of the Russian Upper House Defense Committee, Viktor Bondarev, he said that it is necessary to create a no-fly zone and announce publicly that any unauthorized aircraft spotted in Syrian airspace or even Hmeimim will be destroyed unconditionally. But I think it's important for our listeners to remember that Syria already has a sophisticated air defense system. If we go back to April 18th, 2018, Syria used Soviet upgraded weapons such as the S-125, the S-200s, and the BUK, which brought down most NATO missiles launched by the coalition. So extending S-300 missiles is simply a military speech act aimed at punishing Israel by forcing it to think twice if it wants to violate Syrian airspace, even though Netanyahu and Bolton said it is a huge mistake and that Israel will continue to defend itself and its interests. The S-300 is a clear indication that the sovereignty of Russia and the importance of its military in protecting its internal and external security, as highlighted in the famous Munich Security Conference 2007 by Putin, is not to be subverted, especially when we consider that Russia had its largest military parade on September 11th to the 17th, just a few weeks ago, called Vostok 2018. So however it plays out empirically, Russia's decision to send S-300 to Syria draws a new red line for Israel in the Levant, just like Vostok 2018 drew a line for NATO in Europe.
Khaled, this is a very exciting chat about the possible geostrategic consequences of Russia's S-300 shipment to Syria, so thank you for enlightening us all about this. Right then, and the second guest we're going to speak to for this segment is Mr. Ali Moussaoui. He's a war correspondent who covered the liberation of Mosul in Iraq.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Ali. Well, what I want to ask you real briefly is what you think about Moscow's commitment to the deconfliction mechanism with Tel Aviv in spite of the sudden distrust in Russian-Israeli relations. How stabilizing of a factor is this, and in what ways could it influence Israel's future reaction to the impending shipment of S-300s to Syria?
The deconfliction mechanism that was put in place by Russia was to prevent accidents and mistakes from happening. However, what we have seen is that Israel has not abided by the rules of that mechanism. They have on many occasions misled Russia, and including the last time where it resulted in the downing of the plane and the killing of the 15 servicemen. Although the mechanism will still be in place, according to what the Russian side has said, but I'm sure there are changes, because in the past, Israeli attacks in Syria have not been to prevent weapons from reaching Hezbollah, according to what the Israeli side have been saying. They have hindered the advances of the Syrian army and allies, and on some occasions, they have given the upper hand to the other side. So the change to the rules of the deconfliction mechanism began with the announcement of the S-300 back in 2013, when Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said in an interview that Russia began the delivery of the S-300. Israel was infuriated. They threatened that they will destroy the weapons, and they lobbied Moscow to change its mind. Moscow did delay the delivery of the weapons, and over the past 5 years, we have seen Israel have free rein attacking Syria at will. Now, if they threatened to destroy the weapons back then, they would have been able to do so easily, because Syria was fighting on multiple fronts. The army was scattered across the country in conflict with Daesh or ISIS and al-Nusra Front and many other terrorist groups. They would have been able to do so. They would have been able to destroy the weapons, the S-300. However, this time, it's a different story. If the S-300 is delivered, Syria will respond. We have seen over the past year or so is that whenever Israel attacked and Syria was able to defend its territories, they have responded. If they have the S-300, they will definitely respond. This is clear change to the deconfliction mechanism that was put in place. And Israel will have to think twice before launching any future attacks, because of what we have seen Syria doing. What we have seen Syria do in the past is that they have defended its territories, and they have attacked Israeli planes flying over Syria.
Okay, Ali, thank you so much for explaining that to us. I think it was really informative, and you certainly gave our audience a lot to ponder over. So thank you very much for raising awareness about what this may or may not mean. Much appreciated.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Ali and Khaled share with us today, we can see that undoubtedly there are many ambiguities. All that we can try to do is make some educated conjecture about what may or may not happen. That being the case, as Khaled explained to us, what Russia is doing is certainly a very important move, and it is going to change the situation in Syria. However, Ali had many good points when he talked about how Israel is going to be, if we can put it in a certain way, contained in what it will be able to do towards Syria. So it does look like this is a very stabilizing measure, but as with everything in international relations, it just remains to be seen. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.